From ACB Radio Mainstream, welcome to Tuesday Topics. For the next hour, we will be discussing a topic of interest to blind and visually impaired people. And now, from Miami, Florida, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Good evening and welcome to Tuesday Topics. This is Paul Edwards, and it is a great pleasure to join you from rainy Miami, Florida. I'd like to thank our producer, Brian Charlson, for arranging for our guest this evening, and our recorder, editor extraordinary Steve Bauer, for all the work that he does in recording and then editing our program to make it available for broadcasting. Obviously, I'd also like to thank George Byes of Talking Communities, without whose software our program wouldn't happen. Tonight is one of those evenings where the software is not necessarily treating some of us well, but at least it appears that our guest and myself are okay for the moment. And so what we're going to do is chat a bit. I grew up, or part of my life, in the British Commonwealth. From the time I was 7 till I was 13, as many of you know, I lived in Canada. And then from the time I was 13 to 21, I lived in Jamaica. And then from the time I was 21 till I was 30, I lived on the island of Trinidad. And so at that point, I was pretty familiar with what was going on throughout the Commonwealth and had at least a fair knowledge of Malaysia and other Commonwealth countries. However, in the time that since I've been back in the United States, I haven't spent as much time keeping in touch with Malaysia as I probably should have. So I'm sure there's going to be an awful lot for me to learn. Our guest this evening is an access technology person from the country of Malaysia. His name is Rahim Rahman, and I hope I'm not butchering your name too much, Rahim. And I think perhaps what I'm going to do is ask Rahim if he would just tell us a little bit about himself, maybe a little about what brings him to the United States. And then in the next go-around, we'll talk a little bit about the exciting country of Malaysia, which is, of course, located in Southeast Asia. So, Rahim, tell us a bit about yourself, if you would.
Hi, everybody. This is Rahim. I'm speaking from Care Center for the Blind in Newton, Massachusetts, right now. I'm from Malaysia. I'm here for a two-month program at Care Center to be certified as a assistive trainer upon the completion of this two-month program. This is my third trip to the U.S. I was in U.S. back in 1988-89. In Overbrook School for the Blind, Philadelphia, for a year. And I was in Los Angeles last year at the CSUN conference. And I'm now back again for 2 months. I just completed 1 week. I have 7 more weeks to go. Okay, so I will be talking more about myself and about Malaysia, as well as about the organization I'm working at Kuala Lumpur, in a short while. I guess that's about it at the moment.
Excellent. Kuala Lumpur, of course, is the capital of Malaysia, and Malaysia has, about 24 million people. 60% of those folks are of Malay extraction, and I think about 25% are Chinese, and a lot of the rest of the population are Indian, from the country of India. And so there's also quite a variety of religion. The Chinese, of course, are often Buddhists, and I guess the Malay folks are, for the most part, Islam folks, and of course many of the Indians are Hindu. Did I get that about right, Rahim?
Yeah, you got it very rightly. Yeah, Malaysia has about 25 million population by now, and the majority of the population is Malay population. There's about 51%. And the rest are Chinese and Indian community, as well as others. The society is a multiracial society, multi-religious society, multicultural society. So we are very unique in that sense. We practice various religions, and Islam is the official religion of the country. We have many Buddhists, Hindus, Christians too, because the society is made up of various ethnics and religions. Therefore, we can see a variety of cultures and food as well. It is not that large in terms of geographical size. It is located in between Singapore and Thailand. That's the main island. And there is another island which is located on Borneo Island. It is about 2 hours by flight from the main island to the Borneo Island. Most of the population live on the main island, where the capital city is, and that is Kuala Lumpur is the capital city, or we just say KL most of the time. And most of the activities, economic activities and the developments are taking place in the main island, whereas in the Borneo Island is pretty much backward, I would say. And the people who live on the Borneo Island are mostly the people of the origin of the land, who practice the traditional way of life. And this is where you can find people who still live in the jungle. But you don't find such people on the mainland anymore nowadays.
Excellent. Malaysia is, I think, actually becoming pretty industrialized. It did have lots of natural resources way back when, I think rubber and tin were its chief exports in kind of the early 20th century. But more recently, Malaysia has become pretty active in the computer business and also in other kind of high-tech industries. So, Rahim, maybe you could tell us maybe a little bit more about that, but also a little about the organization that you work for and how services are delivered to blind folks, and maybe a little bit about the blind population there. Is there a school for the blind? Tell us a little bit more about what life is like for blind folks in Malaysia.
Well, I work for the organization called Malaysian Association for the Blind, and this is one of the biggest organizations serving the blind in the country. There are 5 major organizations that serve the blind in the country, and 4 of them are organizations for the blind, and only 1 organization of the blind. So all the 5 major organizations come together in another organization or the umbrella organization called National Council for the Blind in Malaysia. I started my career as a computer instructor back in 1991 at an organization called Cineclus Home for the Blind, and that is in the north of Malaysia, very close to the border of Thailand. I worked there for about 12 or 13 years before I moved to Kuala Lumpur, to Malaysian Association for the Blind, in 2005 till today. It is estimated that Malaysia has 64,000 blind people, around 64,000, and out of this number, only 15,000 are registered with the social welfare department. We don't know where are the rest. We cannot find them. They could be hiding in their houses. They could be in their community where the CBR program has to do a more proactive work to identify them. We have, I would say we have very good access to education and employment. We have the opportunity to go to school. We have the opportunity to work. And we also have a very good policy in terms of the supporting services for the blind by the government. Yeah, by the government. They do have supporting services. For example, they provide allocation or annual grant for the blind to apply to purchase AT devices or adaptive devices or assistive devices. And they also have special scholarship for the blind to go to university or to pursue to the higher education or to tertiary education. So I am one of those who have made use of these benefits. I really make full use of the of the government policies. When I say they, I'm talking about the government. The government look at the blind people as a contributing citizen, meaning they never look down upon us. They never deny us from education or from employment. One of the other policies that I must mention here today is 1% of the job opportunity in the government sector is reserved for the disabled. Not only for the blind, but for the disabled in general. So, a number of blind people, many, I don't know the exact number because I'm not prepared for the number today, but many, many blind people have been employed by either state government or federal government, and mostly are working on telephone switchboard, stenographers, teachers in the public school, administrators, lecturers in the universities, as well as translator publishing unit of the government where translation from English to Malay or Malay to English is needed. I don't see any reason why the blind in Malaysia cannot be successful because of all these good policies, because of all the available services from the government as well as from the non-government organizations. In MAB, or Malaysian Association for the Blind, which I will use MAB for this, in this discussion, we have about 14 services altogether, ranging from vocational training, which consists of body massage, foot reflexology, wood industry, orientation and mobility, daily living skills, or sometimes referred to as independence living skills, braille class, music class, computer training, low vision assistance, library services, CBR or community-based rehabilitation program, EIP, early intervention program, as well as services for the senior citizen of blind people, the blind senior citizen who are above 60s, I believe. So the combination of all the services has really made up a good scenario for the blind and low vision in the country to achieve their goals in life, I would say. If they could survive on their own without any of these NGOs, then well, that is well and good. But of course, many, many would at some point in their life would come to one of these five NGOs for some kind of help or some kind of assistance, either for training purposes or for at least for consultation purposes. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, in the area of computer training for the blind and low vision in Malaysia, we estimate we have trained at least 1,500 blind and low vision from all walks of life, yeah, from the primary school level all the way up to the adult adult blind and low vision people. And we also train the sighted people who work with the blind or for the blind, for example, teachers who are working in the school for the blind, or staff who work in the organization for the blind, as well as the volunteers who come to serve on a voluntary basis at our organization to produce braille books or audio recording, or who help us with the fundraising department. So they are well educated in terms of technology for the blind or assistive technology. I mean, of course, it all depends on what their needs are. Some are trained more than the others, and some are less than the others. MAB also offer computer training to the blind people from other countries in the region, in the ASEAN region. We call our region as ASEAN region, A-S-E-A-N, ASEAN region. That is consists of 10 countries, Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore, Indonesia, the Philippines, Brunei, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, and I guess Myanmar is also in by now. So it could be 11 by now. Yeah. Of course, Burma or Myanmar has not been very active, so we don't hear much from Myanmar. But we do have a number of blind people from other countries, from other neighboring countries, who come to us for the training, or we go to their respective organizations, to their respective countries, to provide the training. We are more or less like a one-stop center, or you can say one-stop center of excellence, yeah, in the region. Of course, we are still struggling to be the leading organization in terms of providing the ICT training and other services. But I would certainly say that MAB has done a good job and being recognized and acknowledged by the blind community in the region. ONNET, for example, ONNET stands for Overbrook Nippon Network on Educational Technology, which is managed and administered by Overbrook School in Philadelphia, together with Nippon Foundation in Japan, has established an outreach program in this region. So they just call it ONNET program for ASEAN region, where they provide technical support, they provide financial support as well from time to time, to make sure that the blind and low vision in this region are not left behind in terms of technology, in terms of assistive technology, in terms of education. And I'm one of the active members of ONNET. And I have been participating in various programs of ONNET, as well as I have been the resource person of ONNET, meaning I have been the trainer for ONNET to train the blind and low vision from other countries in the region. There is another organization in this region that has been very active in providing the services to the blind, technology services, I mean, to the blind in the region, and that is APCD, Asia Pacific Center, Asia Pacific Center on the Development of Persons with Disabilities. Yeah, Asia Pacific Center on Persons with Disabilities, APCD. This project is funded by JICA in Japan and the government of Thailand. So both JICA and the government of Thailand have come together to establish this project. But their scope is wider compared to ONNET. APCD reaches out not only to ASEAN region, but to other countries in the Asia-Pacific region. You can find more countries in the Asia-Pacific region, which also consists of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Sri Lanka, Fiji, Afghanistan, Bhutan, and a few others. Yeah. Sometimes they are overlapping. I must acknowledge that. I must admit that they are overlapping one another. They are competing one another at some point. Yeah, but both are supplementing each other instead of trying to compete with one another. They are trying to supplement each other for the benefit of the blind in ASEAN region as well as Asia Pacific region. Yeah, I think I should stop at this point for now.
Wow, lots of good information. Thank you. I have a couple of questions that I'll kind of shoot to you, and we can do a quick back and forth here, and then pretty soon we're going to open it up so that others may have some questions. My first question is, you indicated that the government is pretty supportive of people who are blind. Does the government provide much of the money that goes into blindness, or is most of the money actually raised by NGOs, which are non-government organizations?
There are many, many NGOs in the country, so there is no way that the government could give the big amount to each of the organization, which is, I guess, the same scenario is happening in all countries in other part of the world. So I guess the vast portion or the big portion of our income are raised by ourselves through appeal letters, through, well, I would say from general public. Yeah, the donations come from the general public. What government gives is it would be of help, but not sufficient, because you know there are thousands of NGOs and all are asking from the same source. So there is no way that the government can make sure they give enough to each of the organization. They have been very supportive in comparison to few other countries in our region.
Another question concerns access technology. Because of the fact that there are quite a lot of languages operating in Malaysia, have most people decided to stick with English in terms of access technology? And to go a little bit beyond that, in terms of access technology, do you use screen readers that people here would be familiar with, like JAWS and Window Eyes? Or have you, in fact, developed screen readers of your own and speech synthesizers of your own in Malaysia?
Yeah, that's a good question. We speak many languages. We speak Malay, Chinese, Tamil, that is for India, as well as English. But in terms of assistive technology, we stick to English most of the time. But the good part about Malay language is it is using the Roman alphabet. Yeah, it is using A, B, C to Z, just like English. We spell the words very much like the way we spell English words. Yeah, so it doesn't make much difference whether we use English or Malay. Of course, the speech synthesizer, such as Eloquence, would pronounce English words much more fluent, much more clearer compared to speaking Malay words. But it's a matter of getting used to it. It's a matter of getting used to the way Eloquence or any other synthesizer pronounce the words. Yeah, we feel that having our own speech synthesizer or our screen reader is not our priority, because we can survive. Yeah, with JAWS, we can survive with Window Eyes, we can survive with HAL or Pocket HAL or Dolphin Pant or any other screen reader, because we don't use our own character. It is not like Thai language or Vietnamese language that have their own characters, yeah. Obviously, when you have your own characters, then none of the screen readers would support, unless you have your own speech synthesizer built into the screen reader. But we don't have such characters. We use the Romanized characters, yeah. Therefore, we don't want to waste our resources. We don't want to waste our time trying to develop another screen reader, which may or may not be that popular at the end of the day. And the demand is not there. There is really not a big demand for it. Yeah, we have conducted a few surveys. We have been asking around among the blind computer users in Malaysia, as well as in Singapore and Brunei, because these three countries speak the same language. But we don't get a good response from them. Most of them would prefer to use JAWS or Windows Eyes with the existing synthesizer. Of course, the majority would prefer Eloquence, yeah, if they have a choice whether to use Eloquence or Microsoft SAPI engine or IBM text-to-speech engine or SAM, yeah, from Dolphin. And most of them prefer Eloquence because Eloquence pronounce Malay quite well, especially if we change the synthesizer language from English to Spanish. You know, in JAWS you have various synthesizer language that you can select, either Spanish or French or Italian or Swedish. So if we change the synthesizer language to Spanish, it pronounces it reads Malay language very well. Yeah, it sounds as if a Malay person reading Malay.
One of the issues that I think is out there for lots of folks, and I think this is going to be my last question for now, and I'm going to open it up so that other people can comment or raise questions. But one of the ways that blind people can be more involved in the world is by getting access to the Internet. And I know there are some countries in Asia where they have chosen to make Internet access very inexpensive, if not almost free, for a lot of their population. How has Malaysia handled that, and is it expensive or relatively cheap, say compared to the U.S., for people to get access to the Internet?
It is relatively cheap, I would say. For example, for a 1 megabyte broadband connection, 1 megabyte kbps broadband connection, we have to pay, we have to pay 99 ringgit Malaysia. Yeah, 99 ringgit Malaysia. $1 is equivalent to 3.5 ringgit Malaysia. So if you take RM99, ringgit Malaysia 99, divided by 3.5, it might come to about maybe 20 or 25 US dollars per month. But for the disabled, for the registered disabled citizens, we are entitled for half price, half of the 99 ringgit. So it may come to about 44 or 45 ringgit per month, which is less than 15 US dollars per month. So this special package is to encourage more disabled persons to take advantage of Internet technology. Of course, we appealed from the service providers to come up with this special package. And they agreed to do it as a social obligation. Yes, social obligation. Yeah. The Internet connection in general is good. It is very stable. It is very stable and reliable. Many years ago, we used to have a lot of problem with internet connection because everything was on dial-up connection, and therefore the connection wasn't that good due to the telephone system that is used in the country or the cabling of the telephone system. But with the broadband connection nowadays, we can have either wired broadband connection or wireless broadband connection. We can subscribe to either one of these two internet connections. The blind people and the deaf people, I know for sure that the blind and the deaf have been taking full advantage of this of the special package.
Yep.
And I believe people with physical disabilities, such as wheelchair users and crutches users, are also beginning to be more proactive in learning to use the computer and to gain more employment, when it used to be very few of them who could be employed in the open employment. Yeah. So, in short, I would say Malaysia and Singapore and Thailand are the top three countries in ASEAN that have the good internet facilities as well as technology, information and communication technology in general.
From ACB Radio Mainstream, you're listening to Tuesday Topics. Once again, your host, Paul Edwards.
Let me open it up and see if other folks who've been pretty patient here have some questions for Rahim. So take it away, guys.
Hello, Rahim. This is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. I think it's great that your country, Malaysia, is really helping the blind population and making them an equal member of the society at large. I think for all of us throughout the world, I think that the internet and computers are going to allow more broad approaches and opportunities for blind people. And it's great that's happening in Malaysia, but I think it's going to happen worldwide as well.
Thanks, Gary. That wasn't the question. Brendan, do you have one?
Hi there, Reham. This is Brendan from Ireland speaking. And thanks very much for supplying us with all that information about Malaysia. It's good to hear that the government there is very supportive to disabled people in general, and that technology is widely available to, especially to the blind people. But my question is, I think earlier you said that the blind population was approximately 64,000, if that is correct. I'm just wondering, out of the total blind population, what percentage do you know would be in employment?
It is estimated, yeah. This is just a rough estimation. Nothing is accurate. It is estimated that 3,000 blind and low vision are currently employed by both the government and private sectors. Again, this is not an accurate number, only as a rough estimation. 3,000. And the rest could be self-employed. Yeah, they could be on their own, such as being a musician, being basket makers, or any other home-based income-generating activities. And the rest are not working, are not employed in any way. But they do receive a monthly allowance from the federal government. I forgot to mention earlier that the disabled in Malaysia is entitled to receive for the monthly allowance from the federal government, but they have to prove that they are not employed, then they are not entitled to the monthly allowance. Normally, you would hear the other way around. If you are unemployed, then you are entitled for some kind of allowance. But our policy is the other way around. You have to be employed in order to receive the monthly allowance. The idea is to encourage the disabled, not only the blind, but the other groups of disabled people, to work, yeah, to earn by themselves, not only to wait for the monthly allowance from the federal government. As long as you earn something, even you just earn $10 per month, you could prove it to the government or to the social welfare department in this case, then you are entitled for another $100 of allowance. If you cannot prove that you are earning something, you are not working, then you are not entitled for this monthly allowance. Yeah, that's about it.
That's actually very cool. That's very different, of course, as you well know, from the philosophy that operates here. It's one that I suspect a lot of us will have to think about a little bit to see what we think. Let me ask you what may be a hard question. If you've been to the States now 3 times, if you had one thing in terms of services for the blind that you'd take back from the United States to Malaysia that you would implement over there that we have over here, what might that be?
I really don't have any specific program that it is available here and not yet available in Malaysia, because we have been working very closely with the organizations for the blind in the States, in Canada, in UK, and in other countries in Europe before we implement any new services or any new programs. So most of the programs that are available in the States are also currently available in Malaysia. But the only services and the only service which the blind has been asking for from the service providers or from the organizations or from the government in Malaysia, for them at this point of time, is to provide a radio reading service. Radio reading service. So if I am in the position to implement a new program or service for the blind in the country, that would be to establish some kind of radio service for the blind, which could also benefit, yeah, the blind population in Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei, and Indonesia, because all these 4 countries speak one common language. And if you bring all the blind population from these 4 countries, you're going to have a large number of blind and low vision community in this part of the world. So my answer would be to start a radio reading service, which, to be very honest, I don't really know what that is. I've been reading about it on the internet, but I have not experienced it myself, what radio reading service is all about.
Do you have any suggestions for maybe, since you've been here in the States for a while, how we could do our service for the blind, how we can improve that compared to the way we're doing it now?
One of the many aspects that are still lacking in that part of the world, yeah, in Asia, particularly in Southeast Asia or ASEAN region, is web accessibility and usability. Not many web developers are thinking where accessibility is a serious issue. Therefore, very few websites from this part of the world are accessible by assistive technology, particularly screen readers. If you have your way, in whatever capacity, in the organizational capacity or individual capacity, to promote, to create awareness about the importance and the significance of having accessible website to the web developers from this part of the world, that would be one of the priorities at this moment. We in Malaysia still struggling to make our policy makers, from government and private sectors, to understand what web accessibility is all about. They do understand because they are clever people, they are technical people, they have been working on websites, but we fail to make them understand why they have to make the web accessible. In fact, the organizations for the blind themselves are not having a really good website in terms of accessibility. I'm having a hard time to convince my policymakers that this website has to be like this, has to be like that, has to be changed to make it more screen reader friendly. They just don't seem to be considerate. Yeah, they keep saying, "Wait, we will come to that point. It's a matter of time." That's what they keep telling me. "We are not rejecting your idea. We are not telling you that where accessibility is not important. But we are just not prepared for it at the moment." So I really don't know why. To them, if the web looks attractive and beautiful from the sighted point of view, then it is okay. Well, I guess you have similar problem, similar issue in the States. But the fact that you have a very strong web accessibility initiative, that helps to improve the situation to a certain extent. Yeah, I know that the problem is not fully it's not fully settled, or there is no issue of web accessibility in this part of the world. No, I know there is no such thing, but web developers are beginning to realize and beginning to accept web accessibility as one of the important agendas in developing a website. Now, let me move on to the second part of the question. I was made to understand that only 70% of the blind population in US are employed. No, let me get that right. 30%, yeah. 30%. 30% of the blind and the vision in US are employed. 70% are not employed. Yeah, now I got it right. That means you have a bigger group of blind people who are not in employment for whatever reasons. Maybe, from my humble point of view, you should consider to establish an agency or a service out of the existing agencies that are functioning to promote employment among the blind people. I know that job opportunities for the blind is limited, that is a global issue, that is a universal issue. But I guess the blind population themselves have to realize that they have to work. Maybe the unemployed allowance are good, and that make that contribute to the situation where some of the blind are not willing to work. They can just survive with the unemployed allowance, unemployed subsidy from the government. Yeah. So maybe think of establishing an agency or a service by the existing organization for the blind to lobby or to launch campaign among the blind and low vision that they must go out to work, they must struggle for the employment. They might have mobility problem, which is again another universal problem of the blind in the world. They might have other personal issues that stop them from working. But at some point, if you have such an agency exist, the agency could help to overcome those issues, mobility issues, personal issues. Because I believe many of the blind who do not work, who are at home, half of them, or at least most of them, are intelligent and can be contributing to the development of the nation in general. My apologies if my suggestion is not a fruitful suggestion or something that you didn't expect to hear. Thank you.
Actually, I think the suggestion's a good one. You know, there are certainly those who would argue that we have the agencies already, we just need to make them work better. But I think you may be right. Maybe an organization whose specific job is working on developing jobs for people who are blind would make some sense in this country. One of the questions that is concerning us in this country right now is library services. We are converting, as you may know, from an analog approach to a digital approach. And I wondered if perhaps you could tell us a little bit about how most people who are blind are reading in Malaysia. Are they reading Braille, or are library books on tape, or have you gone to a DAISY system? What are you doing at the moment?
We do have library services, at least two Braille libraries providing the library services. The majority of the blind read Braille, either grade 1 or grade 2 or both grades, or at least Malay Braille, because you can have Malay Braille or English Braille, obviously, yeah, or Arabic Braille. Yep, there is also an Arabic Braille, which is also quite popular in Malaysia. So some read Malay Braille only, some read Malay and English, some read English only, some read Arabic only, yeah, and some read all of these three. We also have audiobooks, which is an ordinary audiobook on the tape recorder, on the cassette tape. DAISY is becoming to be known among the blind, among the professional blind, as well as the university students. It is not yet well accepted among the blind community in Malaysia because of its complexity. Because obviously they need to have the DAISY playback machine, or at least they must have access to a computer with DAISY playback software, which most of the time they don't. Yeah, they may have PC, which is used for a specific to perform a specific task. So learning to use the playback software for DAISY book might not be the priority. So let me make it short. The organizations for the blind have not promoted the AC that much at the moment. There may be a few titles, I believe less than 1,000 titles of daily books available in the country, and they are mostly NCC only. They are audio only. They are not full Daisy book that comes with audio and full navigational features. The having access to reading materials and information is not one of the main concern, because that is well taken care of either by the Organization for the Blind or the Blind or the Ministry of Education, as well as some private Braille producers.
I'm going to open up for other questions in just a sec, but I wanted to be sure that I mentioned to you that at least a stopgap approach that would get to some folks in your country doing perhaps some different things would be making ACB radio more widely available in Malaysia. And one of the things that I know we would be glad to do is, if you have some folks who would be interested in getting involved with ACB Radio in Malaysia and who have an interest, we would be glad to see programs produced in Malay, or programs and broadcasts playing music in Malay for people who are blind. So perhaps you can take that back with you. Let me open it to other questions that folks might have. This will probably be the last round.
Brendan again here from Ireland. So this question is a mobility question. Do the majority of blind people in Malaysia, are they long cane users? Or are there any guide dog or seeing dog users in Malaysia?
All the blind are using the white cane or the walking stick. Guide dog is not allowed in Malaysia. You can have a dog as a pet, of course, at home, yeah, but not as a guide dog due to the religious restriction. Most of us are on canes, and none of us are familiar with guide dog.
Yeah. And secondly, does the government provide any long cane mobility training, or who is this left to voluntary organizations or agencies?
The government as well as the non-government organizations depend on where you belong to. If you work for the non-government organization, or if you are a client of the services from one of these non-government organizations, then they would provide you with the O&M orientation and mobility skills. But if you are a student or school student, yeah, or university student, which is obviously under the care of the government, then they do have O&M program from time to time, which might be working along with us. They might engage our experts, yeah, our specialists to conduct such program for them. But they would fund for the project.
Gary, do you have a last question?
The idea that dogs aren't allowed there, is that because of, like you mentioned, the religious thing? Is it because of the, I think the Muslims don't believe in using dogs for that purpose? Is that right? I mean, is that the reason that they're not allowed in Malaysia?
Yeah, dog is, how do I put this rightly? Dog is allergic to Muslim. Yeah, that's the rule, that's the law in the Quran, in the Holy Quran. Muslims are not supposed to raise dogs, are not supposed to have dog at home, not supposed to touch the dog, not supposed to play with the dog, blah 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 blah. So Malaysia, being a Muslim country, do not allow guide dogs to be used in the public place. I guess you could have a guide dog at home, which make no difference if you cannot take it out of your home to the public places. There have been a group of people with physical disabilities trying to set up a guide dog training in the country and trying to lobby the government to amend the law to allow guide dogs to be used in the public places, but they failed to do so because the majority of the Muslim people are not in favor of such service. We had a conference last year in Kuala Lumpur. It was the international conference for ICEVI, International Council on Educational for Visually Impaired People, where the participants are coming from all over the world. So bringing the guide dogs to the conference was one of the critical issues, was one of the issues that we had to tackle. I was part of the organizing committee, and I know that there was a lot of debate on that. The hotels do not allow guide dogs to be taken to the hotels. The owner of this conference venue do not allow the dogs to be brought into the venue. You know, the kind of issues, the kind of problem we faced. But at the end, we managed to convince all the blind participants that dogs are not allowed, so they just come with their white canes or with their escorts. But we do give a special price, special rate to the escorts who escort the blind to replace the guide dog. Yeah, but I guess that was fair enough. Yeah.
Guide people for the blind. I guess I'd hire one. Well, I think we've learned an awful lot about Malaysia tonight, and an awful lot that I think will give us pause for thought. In particular, I think the idea of paying someone an allowance only when they're employed is an idea whose time may have come in this country. We certainly ought to take a look at that and see how it works. Rahim, we very much appreciate having the opportunity to talk with you while you're here. We wish you the best of luck back in Malaysia. And obviously, we wish you to have a great time for the rest of the 7 weeks that you remain in the United States. I appreciate everyone being here on ACB Radio. I'd like to thank those folks who did make it in for their thoughtful and appropriate questions. Thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where whatever part of the world you're in, you can find things to see with your ears. Good night, everyone.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday, 1 hour Universal Time. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each show begins, those online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room service and how it works. An announcement promoting the topic to be discussed will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends list early each week. So we hope you will come and join us Tuesday each week when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. Again, the URL is ourplace.acbradio.org.